Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Many of you are probably familiar with the poem, Footprints in the Sand. The basic idea is that a man is given a vision of his life as a set of footprints in the sand. There are places where there are two sets of feet, and there are places where there's only one set of feet. And he continues with this. He says he's talking to God. But I have noticed that during the most trying period of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, you have not been there for me? The Lord replied, the times when you have seen only one set of footprints in the sand is when I carried you. Now, what I want to focus on isn't the idea of Jesus carrying us. What I want us to notice is the human assumption. What was his assumption? That he was abandoned. That he was alone. That there was nobody helping him. That he was isolated. That he was cut off. That's the natural human assumption. Our brains just go there. And I think most of us know that when we are in times of trouble, tribulation, pain, loss, confusion, we have a tendency to go to that place where we feel alone. I'm alone in this suffering. Nobody else sees what's going on with me. Nobody else understands what this is like for me. Right? I think we've all known that experience, that feeling of abandonment. It's a natural assumption for us. And in reality, it's actually a very painful and destructive thing. I was doing some reading this past week on abandonment and abandonment issues. It's a big issue in the psychiatric literature. Lots is written about it and about the pain and psychological and emotional damage that is done to people by a sense of feeling abandoned. Now, that might be real abandonment. Sometimes people really are abandoned. Or it might be imagined abandonment. The damage is the same either way. It's a very destructive experience for us to feel that we are abandoned. And it is particularly dangerous because of how quickly we make the assumption of aloneness. I alone am in this problem. I alone face these burdens. I alone understand all the weight that is on me. I think Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, offers a real antidote to that sense of aloneness and abandonment. We read lots of things about the Good Shepherd, and it's a very comforting notion. But there are two things that I really want to focus on this morning because of what they do for us in alleviating the sense of aloneness that we so often feel when we face trials and tribulations. The first is Jesus' statement, I lay down my life for the sheep. And the second is when he says, I know my own, and my own know me. So Jesus tells us that he lays down his life for the sheep. He's not the hireling. The hireling isn't going to lay down his life for some other guy's sheep. Right? The hireling will pick up and run away when things get a little too dangerous because he doesn't care. It's no loss to him except maybe job, to go find a new job. My guess is the shepherd is not too happy with the hireling who just runs away. But that's what they do. Jesus promises to be the good shepherd. He's not abandoned us as the hireling would abandon us, but rather to be prepared to lay down his very life stay with us, to be with us, even to that cost, we will not be abandoned. Jesus laid down his life once and for all for us, that we might be restored to the Father. And that confidence, that knowledge, is one of the key things that can carry us through those difficult moments of aloneness and abandonment. But further, it goes further than that. I find that often when I'm in some situation of confusion or loss or pain, and I don't know what to do, don't know what comes next, often the worst part of it really is that sense of aloneness. That sense of being isolated and cut off, and nobody else sees what it's like for me in my place. And the promise that Jesus lays down his life for us is the promise that we are never left alone in those moments. That there is one who sees us, who understands the needs that we have at that moment, and is prepared to lay down his life for us. Jesus offers us the antidote. But I also think that this speaks to one of the great responsibilities of the church, of the Christian community, of the body of Christ. We are now the body of Christ. We are Jesus alive and at work in the world. And therefore, it becomes our responsibility to be that living presence in the lives of others, in the lives of those around us. We are to be that promise that you are not alone, that you are not abandoned, by our presence, by our care, by our love. Now, we may do that well or poorly at different times, but I do think it is a responsibility that we as a Christian community bear. And let me say that that's a big burden. Because it is not enough to just be the one who says, give me a call if you need anything. You know, there's all the difference in the world between the friend who says, give me a call if you need anything, and the one who shows up at your door with a casserole and the mop in hand. Right? All the difference in the world. And if we are to be that Christian community for one another, not just the one who says, hey, give me a call, but the one who shows up, who knows enough and is invested enough to understand the needs that we each have in those moments, to understand what the gaps are, to understand where we need help, and to begin to offer that help without the other person having to do that. Because, you know, in all my years, and I've said, call me if you need anything, many times, I can't think of any time when anybody has ever called me in response to that statement. It doesn't work. And so if we are going to know each other and be invested in community enough to be aware when one another is feeling that sense of abandonment, when one is in those moments of pain and loss and suffering, that means we have to invest in one another. It means we don't just show up on Sunday morning and wave and leave. It means we take the time to get to know one another. We talk to each other. We visit with one another. We spend time with each other. We work on projects together. We do Bible studies together. We pray together. All of those different, we sing together. All of those different things. Because that's how we build the kind of community where we can actually be that non-abandoning presence in the moments of pain and suffering. We have to invest that with one another. You know, we don't come to church on Sunday morning because God's keeping attendance. We come to church on Sunday morning because we each need to be making that investment in the community. You need to make that investment in the community. We need you to be here, and we need to gather together to orient our priorities toward God and to build those relationships that allow us to be that non-lonely, non-abandoning, non-isolated presence in one another's lives. And sometimes, at least in small ways, that means we have to lay aside our own priority. We have to lay down my life. Because it may not always be the convenient thing. There may be other things you'd rather do on a Sunday morning. Heck, there may be people you're a little annoyed with and you don't really want to talk to today. So what? If we are to be the body of Christ with one another, then we have to continue that investment with one another. It's part of what it means for us to be able to be that presence of Christ in one another's lives. Jesus promises that I know my own, and my own know me. You know, that's one of the most profound desires of the human heart, to know and to be known, to be connected with another person. It's one of the reasons why family, I think, is so important for us, because that's a place where we know and are known. And if that's lost for some reason, that's a devastating loss to us. It's one of the reasons why we as human beings, we make clubs and civic groups and organizations and workplaces and neighborhoods and churches. They're all opportunities for us to find a place where we can know and be known. We desire that. The truth is we need it. It's not just an empty desire. It really is part of how God has designed us to function. And without that, there really is a serious lack. It is as serious as having no food and water in terms of our spiritual health. We need to have that place. But to have that means we need to be ready to invest with one another, to spend time with one another, to get to know one another, so that we can be that presence. So these two great needs, know that we are not abandoned. Know that there is one who is with us no matter what circumstances look like. We are not alone, even in those moments when we feel alone. And to know that we are known, and that there is a place where we can know another. And those needs are met in Jesus, our Good Shepherd. God has built those needs into us, and then he satisfies them in the person of Jesus. And then he gives us the Christian community so that we can taste that in a tangible way day in and day out. And we can know the satisfaction and joy of being that presence in the lives of one another. Amen.
Amen.